Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I remember my first time on radio.
Really?
Everybody waving at the camera like you're on the Beverly Hillbillies. Well, good morning, Stu. Good morning, Charlie. And morning. If you haven't noticed, folks, on especially live on our
Facebook Live,
we have a special guest this morning.
Boy, do we.
Mm-hmm. You want to introduce her, Stu?
Yeah, absolutely. This is Chuck Johnson. He is a...
Hello. I'm Chuck.
Mike and I have talked that over the last year that we really want to, you know, we want to promote local. Mm-hmm. And a big part of the food and drink scene in this town now is the live music scene.
Absolutely.
And it's all intertwined within the same entertainment industry. And we brought on a good friend of ours, one of the best performers in town. She's always up for the Nappy Awards for that voice. My gosh. Lauren Murphy of Lauren Murphy and the Psychedelics is in studio the entire hour. Now, it's not just going to be a music show either, because Lauren has, I believe, some history in food service industry.
I do, like any good performer.
Exactly. How do you think I became a chef?
Exactly.
Rock career was not going the way I wanted it.
Hey, so. I don't know the side of you. You're going to have to show me some rock and roll sometime. Or maybe that's why you're
an idiot. More of the roll. I think it's more of the roll than the rock.
There we go. Roll Tide.
That took some coaxing, because she's from Baton Rouge.
It mm-hmm. did, but you know, I've been here for almost, it'll be 4 years this June, so. Yeah.
And has been tracing her roots, and has a lot of roots in Alabama.
Stu, it's bizarre. I had no idea. I was born in Baton Rouge, but I lived in the San Francisco Bay Area for nearly two decades, and my husband passed away, and I had friends here, and the road brought me back through. But what I didn't realize when I moved here, and I made the jump, my mom does these albums, kind of photo albums, family history through the decades. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got one for the 1800s to the early cusp of the 1900s. And just one day in my house, I'm flipping through. And that's Fairhope Beach. And that looks like my mother, but that looks like a 1914 swimsuit. Mm-hmm. I flipped it over, and it was my great-grandmother, Leona, who I named my youngest daughter, right. Liba Leona, for. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, she wasn't born here, but she was raised here after her mother died.
Wow.
So, Fairhope is in your blood.
It is. My great-great-grandfather was an attorney, had an office on Dolphin Street.
Well, we will forgive you for that.
Thank you.
Lauren is going to be here the whole hour. Mike and I are going to be talking about things. I went to the first annual Mac and Cheese Fest yesterday. Okay. Ran into our buddy Tony Sawyer, the owner of Bob's Diner. Folks, get to Bob's Diner. Get down there, do some etting, because that's a good place to et. Have you had a chance to try it yet, Lauren?
I have not, no.
Oh, breakfast and lunch.
Ooh.
7 days a week.
Okay.
Packed out. Yeah, bottomless mimosas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now you're talking.
Mike, did you do anything this week?
I went to the Fort of Colonial Mobile for the Queen G's back.
Fort Kirby.
Yeah, I know. The restaurant revival thing last night.
And how it was did that delicious. Go?
Oh, it was great. It was awesome.
Queen G's used to be on Old Shell.
Mm-hmm. But they have a pop-up.
Ludo LaFerve, who is a very famous chef out in California,
yeah, that's
although
right.
he's from France. Did a show for a while where he would travel the country and do pop-ups. And the very first one I think he did was at Queen G.
And, you know, they said at the end of the season, after they did that mm-hmm. season, he said that Mobile was their favorite pop-up yeah. of the whole show that year. Mm-hmm. So, and that was great. He was a little tough in the kitchen, and as a lot of you chefs are.
Yeah,
he's a chef, and he's French. So.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, I worked for Alec Naiman for a number of years. Hey, Alec. Hey, Mike. How you? Lauren, you sure look pretty this morning. Thanks, Alex. Thanks for stopping by. Tom Houle, who is his culinary director, Tom Houle, he, instead of going to culinary school here in the U.S., went to Europe and let a German chef dog cuss him for 5 years in Geneva.
Mm.
And when he came back, he could cook the pants off anybody that went to a culinary school.
Oh, I bet.
And he said, and it was just brutal. You do something right, and he would cuss you out. He said, but nobody else gets on my skin now.
So. There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, this thing was great last night because it was outdoor. Mm-hmm. And the weather was a whole lot better than what it was in October when we were there for the Bo Jackson thing. But me and Roy was there, and we were sitting with Andy McDonald and Rob Holt, and we just had a blast. And,
all the Land Yap crew?
It was just those two. But we saw a lot of people I hadn't seen in a while. Mm-hmm. And under the clouds, under the orange and blue towers downtown.
Ooh, boy, eagle.
It was pretty.
Okay, 6/10 of a second.
Now,
6/10 of a second.
Got a second?
Yeah. But, see, I have had this issue with all sports. When the clock goes from 1 to 0, mm-hmm. it's done. And they go, well, no, you got to click off the tenths of a second. No. When it goes from 1 to 0, mm-hmm. it's over. The NFL does it and all of that. They're adding an extra second onto games.
Yeah.
That's the only way it can be. Intended.
Can I take an extra year off my birth date?
Sure.
Okay.
Lauren, I had a friend, or still have her, but very beautiful, looks a lot like Jessica Alba.
Gorgeous.
And whenever her birthday would come up, people would go, hey, how old are you? And she would add 5 years to her age.
Oh, that's
so
crazy.
So when she turned 30, she told him, I'm 35, because she loved hearing, you look incredible. And she always said, I don't know why women lie about their age in the wrong direction, because everyone goes, yeah, right.
I'm 89.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You look fantastic for 89.
It's the Romanian blood.
Oh my gosh, Charlie. Keep in mind, to Charlie, 50 is still a youngin'.
That's right.
Okay. I haven't even reached it yet. Like,
yeah.
You're still a child.
I am. I'm very immature, actually.
And a bit of a flower child.
Just a bit.
Just a bit.
Yeah.
I should have dug it up and sent it to Charlie. But we're going to let you play in and out of commercials.
Okay.
But you with Darby Slick on
Somebody to Love. Yeah.
And I remember the first time I'm watching that, and I'm like, man, Lauren is just wearing this out. And then it goes into the guitar solo, and I said, I don't know who that Leland Sklar-looking dude is, but my gosh, he is playing this song like he wrote it. And then I find out it's the guy that wrote it.
You know, the weird thing about that, I started playing that song my second spring living in Fairhope. I miss the San Francisco Bay Area. And that song spoke to me psychedelically, but it also, mm-hmm. I felt very lonely. So don't you want somebody to love?
Right.
Your friends treat you like a guest, all this. So I started singing the song. I would go on tour that summer and wake up in a B&B, and I'm warming up playing the song. Down the stairs with a beer in his hand at 10 o'clock in the morning comes Darby Slick, and he goes, hey, can I play that with you? And I'm like, yeah. And so we sat down and started playing it. And then he said, how many shows you got on this tour? Can I play on them all with you?
Oh,
and
man.
So, yeah, it was crazy. Okay.
And you and I both know that Darby Slick was Grace Slick's husband.
Grace Slick's husband's brother. But as I understood, they had a timeshare with Grace that was okay. It was the 60s. Hey, I live in
right.
Fairhope.
And it is well documented that Grace Slick was romantically involved with virtually everybody she ever met.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And but he was one of the founders of Jefferson Airplane at the time.
The Great Society. And then, yes, dovetailing that into the airplane.
That blows me away. And I've told you that my niece played Carnegie Hall last year.
Oh, and, that's right.
And,
what an experience.
And I'd look at that, and, you know, having been in this career at one point, I understand, I grasp it, you know, how big that would be. I would give anything to be sitting here playing Have a Cigar and have David Gilmour walk up and say, can I play guitar on that?
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So I understand all of that. So Lauren will be playing this in and out of commercials, and then we're going to let her play a whole song later if she so chooses.
All right.
But you can go ahead and start playing.
We all have an addiction, maybe fact or fiction. Or maybe it's religion, or self-aggrandized visions. In this Tower of Babel, transmitting the vibes, 1 million likes to live or die by. Can you see the colors through the lies? We've got to psychedelicize. We've got to manifest the mind. We've got to defy time before we die. Manifest the mind.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
We are back in studio, Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu and Lauren Murphy today of Lauren Murphy and the Psychedelics.
Hey.
Hey, they've got a new album that they're getting ready to record right here in Mobile, and we're going to tell you more about it in the second segment. But Mike, I got to tell you, I ran into a buddy of ours yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
At the Mac and Cheese Festival. You know a young man named Darwin Singleton, right?
I do.
Yeah, Darwin was judging the Mac and Cheese.
Okay.
And I'm like, how did you swing that gig?
Darwin's a lucky man. He gets in on the good stuff.
Yeah. He said that the news focus of doing the morning anchor show doesn't allow for as much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So he's making sure he keeps the traditions. He used to go to what was called Patio Tools for the longest time, but now it's Lucky Irish Pub and Grill.
Okay.
Every St. Patrick's Day to get his beard and hair dyed green at like 5 in the morning. And then he spends the whole day St. Patrick-ing all around town for the TV station.
Oh, cool.
It's for us.
Yeah.
The viewing public. And then he mentioned the Mardi Gras stuff. And then he said, it seems like everything I do that's fun involves alcohol.
Yep. I did the Mardi Gras with Darwin and Tara this year. It was a lot of fun.
Did you see Tara's moving to Nashville?
No.
Yeah. She announced it like Thursday.
Now.
So we get Cherish Lombard back from Nashville.
Okay.
But now we lose Tara Reeves. So
she's amazing. My daughter did a Mardi Gras with us, mm-hmm. with me last year, and she was playing ukulele and singing. And when Tara walked up to her and said, oh, you're so sweet, she walked off. Liba looked at me and she goes, Mommy, she's real. She's so pretty.
Well, we alluded to Bo Jackson being in town, and we did an event at Colonial Ford of Mobile with him. And Bo Jackson has a great story in his autobiography, Bo Knows Bo, where he said, I was sitting on the floor watching cartoons with my son one Saturday morning, and a Bo Knows commercial came on. And all of a sudden, my son's eyes got big, and he looked at me and said, Dad, you're Bo Jackson. Because his wife only calls him Vincent. And he had no idea that his dad was Bo Jackson,
there
the most famous person in the world.
Oh.
And that's awesome. He is a great family man. And
human
deadly
being,
with
period.
A bow and arrow in his
hand. Yeah, really is. He's a great human being.
Yeah.
Period.
It was great getting to hang out with Bo a couple of times. And I did a live at World Food Championships. We extended our live from the regular show, but I was there and did a bonus hour. And while I was interviewing the people with Bo Jackson's signature foods, up drives Bo, walks out, fist bumps me in the middle of him, goes, what's up, Stu?
Yeah.
And I was just like, you just made 14-year-old me high-five me.
You're pretty cool, Stu.
Well, yeah. At the Senior Bowl, Piggly Wiggly was there, and, mm-hmm. and Cromel and all them, they were set up. And, I mean, he was just getting his pictures made with everybody. They had a long line, and he sat there and made sure everybody in that line got their picture made with him.
Before we went on air, we talked about with Lauren. She asked how our trip went to Los mm-hmm. Angeles, and did we have fun? Okay, you lived out in California.
Yes.
So people from here, and probably the same in Baton Rouge before you moved out, the perception is that everyone out there, especially in Los Angeles, is just as weird as they can be and that they're crazy.
Exactly.
And I knew this when I went out there in 2011, that the friendliest people I had encountered across the country so far had been in Beverly Hills.
Fantastic.
It was. I told Mike and Heather and Lou a story that I was going to Spago because a friend had arranged for me to meet Wolfgang Puck.
Oh,
I didn't
wow.
care about meeting anyone from television or movies. I wanted to meet Wolfgang Puck. And my cab pulls up in front of Spago, and this guy in a suit comes out and opens the door and waves his hand like, there you go, sir. And I figure, you know, it was a lawyer leaving a business meeting, and he wanted the cab. And he was just so polite. Hey, here you go, sir. And opened the door for me. And everything I experienced like in Beverly Hills was like that. Now, Mike and I just get back. We did Santa Monica Pier. By the way, great day.
Oh, yeah.
That was
best
a wonderful day
of our life, yeah.
Ran into some people from Fairhope there.
I bet you did. It's amazing.
But we found it to be quite friendly.
Southern California, it's a different planet than Northern California, right, for sure. The times that I've gone down there to play music or even go to Disneyland, go to the Ruth Chris Steakhouse, and I had the same experience. People were very accommodating and bright and intelligent and
friendly.
Very friendly.
We had a wonderful time. And you know, I'd always heard the first time I went out to California, why would you want to go there?
Yeah.
And my thinking is, well, you know, 250,000 people live in Mobile and 17 million live in Los Angeles. Apparently, there's a reason to go there.
Right.
And we did. And then we ran into the things that, I'm sorry, to a reasonable person, make no sense. Heather weighs 115 pounds. They made her pay a fat tax because she got a cheeseburger and fries of $2.35.
That was weird.
Well, I mean, a cheeseburger and fries
was 100%.
Yeah.
And then
plastic bags.
It was called.
No. We had to pay 10 cents for
the bags. Exactly.
But the bags were killer bags.
Did you get the bags to go? Did they give you canvas bags?
No. They were heavy duty biodegradable plastic bags.
Bigger
from Target. We brought them home.
Fantastic.
Because they don't tear like the cheaper ones.
That's what all the dirty clothes went in.
Right.
Yeah.
previously worn clothes.
So those things too, and honestly, we can't point our fingers in Alabama at any other state about their taxes. We're one of the most taxed states in the country. And you look at it,
yes.
With the exception of California, every state that has the highest tax rate is also one of the poorest states.
True.
Massachusetts and California are the only two super high tax states that aren't poverty stricken.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Mississippi, Alabama, Kentucky, Arkansas, these are all your most taxed states, which are supposedly conservative leadership that doesn't like big government, but boy, they love tax. And we're looking at it in our state right now. They're trying to keep the lottery out because there's money coming in, you know, from other entities, making sure we don't have a lottery.
Right. Gas tax.
Yeah, gas tax. A 10-cent gas tax. How about just stop spending money?
Truly.
Yeah. So we can't really point our finger at them about that. It's just theirs are different than ours.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and also I think people, until they visit a place and mix and mingle with the folk from there.
The folks, too, the real people.
You tend to have a preconceived notion that society has put out. When I moved to Fairhope, everybody in California looked at me and said, "You're doing it backwards." I went, "No, y'all don't understand.
Y'all don't understand.
Y'all don't understand Fairhope." And then I have people in Fairhope saying, "Well, I'd never want to go to California. It's all those crazy liberals." And they don't understand. The state is extremely diverse.
Yes.
Extremely diverse.
Yeah. For real.
And there are parts of Northern California that are real Arkansas-like. Don't come on my property. I got a loaded shotgun.
You get close to Oregon there.
Well, I mean, I lived
that's
up in
Unabomber. Right. Yeah. You know, the Unabombers.
Right. Yeah. You got a compound up there.
Yeah. But you also got the Bilderberg and all of that nefarious stuff up there. So that's fun.
Bohemian Grove.
Right. Exactly. But we got Calioka Road, which you have got to make a song someday. Say the words, Calioka Road.
Calioka Road.
See, that's lyrical just like that.
I was listening to Johnny Barbato last night, and he can make up stuff at the drop of a hat. He can make up a song at the drop of a hat.
That's fantastic. It's
three chords and a cloud of dust.
I'll tell you one off the air that he wrote. I can't talk about it on the air.
But let me get some information on Calioka Road, because there's all these ghost stories
there.
Crybaby Bridge and all of this.
That sounds like a movie or something.
And Three Crosses. Don't forget Three Crosses.
Yeah.
Three Crosses is out near
Airport Boulevard.
By Baker.
It's just a cemetery that's cool. That's all.
Okay.
But we got 1 minute to the next break, so we'll have you start playing here in about 25 seconds.
All right.
We'll make it 24. And then when we come back, we're going to let her do a whole song, and we're going to talk about the Kickstarter that they're doing for their album.
Yeah.
Recorded right here in Mobile.
Dolphin Street Sound, we're going in at the end of the month.
Yeah. Not Muscle Shoals, although they do a great job. Not Nashville, not L.A., not New York, not Chicago.
Not San Francisco.
Not Minneapolis, St. Paul. Oh, pulled one out, didn't you?
Yeah. I got kind of cold there when you said that for a second.
All right. Okay.
Across the border highway, a well-known rocket in the sky. I saw a woman weaving a basket of you and I, you and I. Into the crosswinds from the hills, we saw, worried and found. What was lost, you asked me. What's left to find us? Set our feet on borrowed ground. Yeah. When we get to that crazy creek where the last horizon calls her sign, there we'll breathe with the trees. We are the dreamers of our time, yeah. We are the dreamers, you and I.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
You know, I know.
Charlie said you're hot.
I love that when you talk.
He was talking
when he talks
to Lauren.
To me that way.
He was talking to Lauren. Mike, calm down.
Hey, folks, I know you're tuning in, and you know you probably think you're listening to MTV right now, but but you're not. We got the you know, like Stu said earlier, we're always
it
pushing food and restaurants here, but. The entertainment industry, or the local entertainment scene, is huge now. And there's hardly a restaurant in Mobile that doesn't have music of some sort going on.
Right.
And we're not only about supporting local in all the
local
restaurant
arts.
It's all local, but local music and local sound and
artists.
Yeah. And we've been a proponent of that for a long time in this area, and we want to continue it. Hey, Stu talked her into getting up early this morning, her being Lauren Murphy, who I love to hear her voice whenever I catch her somewhere. It's just, but we got a lot of great entertainment in this town, don't we, Lauren?
We really do. It was one of the perks with moving here. I every now and then, a good music scene comes around, and you'll have, you know, like the Seattles or, you know, San Francisco in the 1960s.
Athens,
Georgia
Atlanta,
in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Wow. Right. Even New Orleans in the early 90s. There's Better Than Ezra starting up. And,
right.
I mean, I remember Widespread Panic touring down there before they got kicked off. But I could not believe the sheer volume of incredible diverse talent down here.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the perks. It's like, you know, I got to get me some of that. I don't know what's in the water, but, I, you know, maybe if I move there, a little bit of that will rub off.
And I can tell you, when I moved to Nashville in 91, the main reason I moved there was no music scene in Mobile at all. There were three clubs in the entire county that allowed live music that was not country.
Wow.
And one of them was a reggae restaurant. And the other one, which was actually my favorite haunt in town, it's no longer here, it actually Dave Rathbone's at its Heroes, was called George's Late Night on Hillcrest. It was right across the street from my apartment, so I didn't have to worry about drunk driving.
That's perfect.
I just did drunk walking. Most of the acts there came from outside of Mobile.
Huh.
With the exception of two bands that were South Alabama bands, Loppy Bojami.
Lobby pajami man.
It gets better. And the Vomit Spots.
Vomit Spots.
Yeah. Punk band.
Yeah.
That's great. I like that name, actually.
And for me to come back now.
As a mother, I can identify with that.
To come back now and see what this industry has grown into here, it's fantastic. And you know, my dream duet that I want to see on a stage is you and Jonesy Jones doing anything.
Yo, Jonesy, yeah. I love her.
She's incredible. Your guitar,
I love
her trombone.
Her. Yes, you know what? I think I could talk her into that.
She was at Hank Blue Brewery not too long ago, a couple of Sundays ago.
She's so talented.
Oh my God,
she is. That band is phenomenal.
It really is.
Yeah, really. The first time I heard them was at Dolphin Island on the Sunset concert series, and y'all really need to do that if you aren't. Talk to Gene Gable.
Okay. And, I'm down. Let's do it.
Yeah. Can you do reggae psychedelic? Because they also do a reggae festival on the island.
Let's do it. Yeah, I'll do reggaedelic. Reggaedelic.
So, you know, a lot of you people who are musicians.
You musicians.
I heard it.
You've also done stints in the restaurant business.
Oh, yes, we have.
So what's your experience like?
Well, I must confess, I started out being a prep cook for Papa Murphy's Pizza,
really,
in McKinleyville, California.
They do a really good product.
Yes, a take and bake.
It's a, yeah.
I mean, I did live where all the pot growers, so take and bake has a double meaning for Papa Murphy's.
Take and get baked.
It is, yeah. You never know what Papa Smurf Murphy is wearing up in that hat. I mean, it could be a bunch of dreadlocks.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
It's an odd building to walk into because the only sound are the refrigerators. Yeah, that's it. There's no music playing. There's no ovens, no hood vents. It's just refrigeration. But, you know, for a chain, it's a very good product.
I was responsible for making their cookie dough. That was a really good job.
In California.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but I've done everything from serving to hosting to bartending to managing to buying to straightening out accounts. Yeah.
Well, but these days you have a new album you and your band are working on.
Yes.
Tell us a little about it, your Kickstarter, and then maybe play us a song.
All right. Mike, Stu, I'm so stoked. I haven't been this excited about a record in a long time. The last record I made was 5 years ago, El Dorado, and it was
wonderful.
Thank you. Put my heart and soul into that. It was dedicated to the memory of my late husband and kind of a journey through grief and self-healing. And
love.
And love.
You and I have talked that was right after my father passed away.
Right.
And it was instrumental in helping me work through that grief. It is a wonderful album about loss and love.
Yeah.
Because the songs where you are so sad, there is so much hope in them, too.
Thank you.
And it's inspiring. And for anyone who is dealing with any kind of loss, get a copy of El Dorado. And also, there are history lessons that are on there, too.
There are. But I haven't made a real rock and roll record in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
11 years ago this past, you know, your Facebook memories pop up. Mm-hmm. It popped up that my late husband and I had a band, Lansdale Station, and we were in the studio at Hyatt Street in San Francisco, and I wrote most of the tunes for that record. And, gosh, I listened to it the other day, and it's a great, great rock record. So these guys, the Psychedelics, it's a totally different sound than what I was doing with Judge, who I was married to for almost – we were together for 16 years, married for 14. The Psychedelics, we do lean on that San Francisco sound.
Right.
But having John Cochran, professor of guitar, he's sponsored by Magslide. He plays great slide guitar. His mentor is Jack Pearson, who had a long stint with Greg Allman. Jack's a wonderful human being and great guitar player. But Cochran has such versatility in his styles, and his ear is so good. So I hand-selected these guys to be in this band, knowing that you have to have a jazz background to execute some of the more difficult songs.
Most people don't see it, but there is an improvisational element to psychedelic music, especially in a live setting.
Absolutely.
Because it is a jam style of music, too.
Yeah.
Invented by Pink Floyd, thank you. They invented, I think it's three genres of music, with psychedelic space music they created.
Love psychedelic space music.
And then they were the first real progressive rock band.
Truly.
Progressive art rock
band.
But we got 4 minutes. Probably three of that's going to be a song, right?
Yeah. So we're going in at the end of this month. The Psychedelics, myself, John Cochran, Winter Baines, and John Kyler on bass. And we're going into Dauphin Street Sound right here in Mobile. I'm flying in Mark Caron to produce our record. He was in the first post-Jerry Garcia incarnation of the Grateful Dead. He took Jerry's guitar chair. So Mark and I have known each other for 15 years, and we worked on three albums together. Two he produced, one that I've produced with him on it. We have a really good relationship. And he's also played, we're going to do 2-0 songs. That was the band that my late husband was in. I sang background here and there. Steve Kimmock, who also tours with Bob Weir. So there's a lot of crossover Grateful Dead family. Part of this record is about positivity and love and joy. The song is called Give In to Love, and it's going to be on the record.
Yay.
One, two, three, four. Harmony, yeah. Overcome rise above and give in to love, be in harmony with the ways of heaven, overcome disintegration. We gotta rise above, stop the push and shove, give in to love, 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 and let the walls dissolve. Between dark and light, everything is love, everything is life. Raise your voice, feel so high, we can love if we try. And shall give him love, 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 yeah. Give it up, give in. Oh, to love, give it up, give in. Yeah, to love, give it up, give in. Oh, to love, yeah. Don't get tripped up on the wheel of confusion, or suffer from self-delusion. Be grateful, not hateful. Stay faithful to love, 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 and live in harmony with the ways of heaven. Overcome disintegration. Yeah, we gotta rise above, stop the push and shove, and give in to love, 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 and live in harmony. Yeah, give it up, give in. Oh, to love, give it up, give in. Oh, to love, give it up, give in. Give in to love. Yeah.
That's Lauren Murphy. Lauren Murphy of the Psychedelics. You're listening to 106.5 FM, Mobile, Alabama.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hi, I'm Simon Majumdar, and I'm telling you to listen to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. It's the best food show on the radio.
Happy birthday, Simon.
Happy birthday, Simon. Yes, today is Simon Majumdar's birthday. And we got a few other notable birthdays. Garrick Ogburn.
Okay.
Our buddy Garrick
Real quick,
Ogburn.
Let me set up Garrick Ogburn's restaurant for you. It's inside the YMCA in downtown Mobile. It's called Nourish Cafe. He usually has three or four items. Some of this he has actually made vegan food edible.
Yeah.
The best ranch dressing I have ever had, the only ranch dressing I've ever had that is edible, is Garrick's. And there's no buttermilk, no milk. He, I believe Heather says he purees flaxseed.
Oh, wow.
As the base. And it is phenomenal. He calls it Hippie Ranch.
I'm going to have to try that. I've heard of Nourish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Garrick is doing some really inspired food there. And then his paprika rubbed pork tenderloin wrap is.
Ooh.
That's the most fattening thing on the menu. And pork tenderloin is very healthy.
Yeah.
But it's the biggest seller there. And then he does a salad. He does grain bowls. All this hippie stuff. You'd
love it. Yeah. I know. It's funny. When I moved here, everybody's taking me to the hippie stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I need a burger and some fried okra, please. There you go.
They just assumed, huh?
They assume, yeah. I'm like, don't give me this green stuff.
Well, look, also another friend who is a chef in this area is Carl Hayes. Happy birthday, Carl. These are all chefs we're talking about here.
Two have been guests on the show, Simon Majumdar and Garrick Ogden.
And Garrick, yes. So there you go.
Thanks, Phil.
Some water. Thank you, Phil.
You're welcome.
Well, you could have slurped off of mine. Not like we hadn't split cheeseburgers before.
I know, Steve. You might have cooties.
You know, I used to go out to California a lot because of the wine industry. But driving down Highway 1, US 1, I guess it is, and you get into
Pacific Coast Highway.
It's gorgeous.
And you get into Jenner, California, and along the Russian River as it pours out into the and there's like thousands of seals. One thing that got me was the real estate that cows have out there. They've got fences that go all the way up against the cliffs. and these cows are sitting there looking at multi-million-dollar views. The burgers have got to be phenomenal.
Happy cows come from California.
They do.
I'll tell you.
That's a slogan.
My butter of choice is Challenge Butter.
Mm-hmm. Mine
which,
too.
From California, they only deal with family-owned farms in California. Mm-hmm. And some of these farms, they've had a relationship with 100 years.
Absolutely, or longer.
And it is a noticeably better butter for the money. Now, there's always Kerrygold, but it's very expensive out of Ireland. There's Lupac from Denmark. It's very expensive. This is an American butter that's on that level, and it's affordable.
I use it all the time, too.
I do, yeah.
I've always told people when they go out there, rent a convertible. But when you drive through.
So what do we rent, Mike?
When you're driving through.
When you were in charge of it.
A convertible, but a Chrysler. But when you're leaving Sonoma and you're headed to Napa and you get in that farmland, you want to put the top up because it smells like a cow farm.
It really does. You know, that's where one of my recording studios where I made El Dorado with Prairie Sun Studios in Cotati, and that's where Tom Waits recorded Mule Variations. And there's old farmhouses that they let us stay and crash out during the session. And you wake up in the morning and it's like, or some kind of, you know, it's like you can,
It's a working cow farm area, and it's strong.
Well, this is this will interest you both. I find that smell very comforting. My grandfather owned several hundred heads of cattle in Sims on Fire Tower Road, and we drove cattle from one end of Fire Tower to the other.
Wow.
And to me, a cow pasture smell, including all of that, is just it's nostalgic for me.
My grandparents in Collins, Mississippi were cattlemen, and that's what we got for Christmas every year was a half a cow.
Half a cow.
Which
half?
Live or dead?
Back.
the whole right side or left side thing.
Okay.
That's what all her boys. She had four boys. That's what their families got. Were half cow. So it only took two cows,
which is nearly a year's worth of food for a family of four.
A
family of six. We had a family of six. My parents would purchase a half a cow once a year, and on the 6 month anniversary of that, they'd get a whole hog.
Oh, wow.
Broken down. We wouldn't, you know, bring half a cow into the yard. But my dad would go to the butcher house, because he grew up on a farm, and would look at all of the meat hanging from the hook and go, that's the one I want.
That's old school.
And he taught me how to look for the proper marbling and all of that. I think the last one we got, I was 9 or 10, and I picked out the cow.
You know, I'm going to tell you what. No movies like Psycho and all that ever bothered me because I hung out in butcher shops.
Yeah, right.
Growing up. Okay, when you after you get this album recorded.
And we need to tell people where they can go if they want to contribute.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you for
reminding. We are doing a Kickstarter to help defer the cost. Making records is really expensive.
Yes.
And we are all full-time musicians, and, you know, we work hard for our money. It's probably going to take about $13,000 to get everything in the long run to do this, but we're just asking for help with $7,000. And what people can do, Kickstarter is an all or nothing. This morning we're holding at 2,647. So we have 2 weeks to go. It closes at 3 p.m. on April 21st, which is Easter Sunday. And what you do is you basically can reserve a pre-order. Even if you kick in as little as $10, that'll reserve you a digital download that's a pre-release. So you'll be one of the first people to hear it. We've got guitar lessons from John Cochran. It's some good stuff. So you can go to laurenmurphymusic.com, or you can go to kickstarter.com and just plug in Lauren Murphy and the Psychedelics.
Or go to our Facebook page, and I've got a link to it right now that published as soon as you came
on. Thank you.
And don't forget, folks, we've got a new YouTube page.
Yeah.
Just go to YouTube, type in Sip and Chew, and this evening I will download the live that we're shooting right now on Facebook, upload it onto there, and we're doing other things. There are things on our YouTube page that you haven't seen on our Facebook page, you haven't seen on this show, things that Mike and I have done over the years that I have compiled and put together.
I'd love to check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All you got to do is type less Sip and Chew.
Cool. There you go. You know, and when you go to the Kickstarter page, what y'all are hearing this morning is the broken down acoustic version of this full rock band. So even if you like what you're hearing, even if you're not going to kick in or just go and click on that link and watch the video, look at the studio.
And share it on your own social media.
Yeah, hear the music, hear the band. There's samples of that stuff going on. So.
Yeah, well, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up here a little early so that Lauren can play us out. So, Mike, what do we always encourage people to do?
We get out there, you know, get out to support local, be local, buy local. Get out there and support these local musicians. It's great. We're so blessed in Mobile now.
We truly have a great everything about our downtown entertainment scene is great.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Tip your servers. Servers earn your tips.
And provolone, folks.
Tip your musicians.
And provolone.
Provolone.
Catalina, fire down below. Catalina, bracelets and a bow. Catalina, ribbons in the snow. Catalina, I know you had to go.